The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the website finance.yahoo.com, the Foundation Fighting Blindness celebrates Blindness Awareness Month with the hashtag ShareYourVision campaign. PR Newswire, Wednesday, October 1st. This social media campaign amplifies authentic stories from the blind and low vision community to highlight the spectrum of vision loss experiences. Dateline Columbia, Maryland. As we enter October's Blindness Awareness Month, the Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, is launching its fourth annual hashtag ShareYourVision campaign to challenge assumptions and deepen understanding of living with vision loss. The initiative invites individuals affected by blinding diseases to share their stories and lived experiences through social media and beyond. This year's theme, Your Vision, Your Voice, highlights that blindness exists on a spectrum, with each person's experience being unique. Through hashtag ShareYourVision, the Foundation aims to amplify authentic voices and lived experiences to educate the public, challenge assumptions, and foster connection. Throughout October, the campaign will showcase diverse voices from daily experiences to hopes for breakthrough treatments and cures. Featured storytellers include Paralympic gold medalist Anastasia Pagonis, who lost her vision at age 14, and Love is Blind Season 9 contestant Madison Maidenberg, who was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at age 21. Other voices include content creators such as Evan O'Neill, who has Stargardt disease and founded Brightside, a support community for blind and low vision individuals. Professional video editor Lance Johnson, who documents his journey with retinitis pigmentosa, and disability advocate Natasha Caudill, who has achromatopsia and collaborates with beauty and fashion brands on inclusive design. The campaign also coincides with key October awareness observances, including World Sight Day, October 9th, World Mental Health Day, October 10th, White Cane Awareness Day, October 15th, and World CRISPR Day on October 20th. The campaign launches as treatments and cures for inherited blinding diseases show unprecedented promise. The Foundation's research has already contributed to Luxturna, the first FDA-approved gene therapy for an inherited eye disease, and more than 50 clinical trials currently underway globally. Blindness isn't one experience, it's personal and unique to each individual, said Jason Menzo, Chief Executive Officer of the Foundation Fighting Blindness. This campaign shows that diversity challenges the one-size-fits-all assumptions that limit opportunities for millions of people with vision loss. From ACB.org, tell Congress to support the Medical Devices Non-Visual Act. Too many home-use medical devices like glucose monitors, insulin pumps, and blood pressure readers rely on inaccessible digital displays. Without speech output, tactile markings, or audible tones, people who are blind or have low vision are often unable to use them safely and independently. The Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act would require the FDA to establish accessibility standards for medical devices, ensure devices are designed with non-visual access in mind, give Americans who are blind or have low vision the ability to manage their health with dignity and independence. It only takes a minute to ask your members of Congress to support this critical legislation. Send a message today. You can go to https://speak.app/lp/hn012sas/query_ts=175923-7995. Posted October 2nd. From the Department of Labor at DOL.gov, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, NDEAM, because the government loves their acronyms, and it's October. Celebrating Value and Talent, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, a mouthful. Hashtag NDEAM, 80th Anniversary. Ideas for employers and employees. The workplace is an important part of National Disability Employment Awareness Month, NDEAM. The ideas below are just a few ways employers and their employees can participate during October and all year long. For additional inspiration, check out our page, Year-Round Employer Strategies for Advancing Disability Employment. That's a hot link. Review policies. NDEAM is a timely opportunity to review your company's policies and ensure that they convey a commitment to an accessible workplace culture. Create a display. NDEAM is also a great time to freshen up bulletin boards in break areas or other workplace locations frequented by employees by posting positive messages about your company's commitment to providing accommodations to people with disabilities. Start by displaying this year's NDEAM poster at the hot link. Additional materials include the What Can You Do poster series, also another hot link. Train supervisors. Within any workforce, supervisors are the closest people to the organization's employees. As part of NDEAM, consider conducting training to ensure that supervisors understand their role in fostering a disability-friendly workplace culture. Such training may include a review of relevant policies, including the process for providing reasonable accommodations. One easy way to provide such training is to make use of available turnkey training modules and available materials such as those available from the Campaign for Disability Employment. Both the training modules and the campaign are hot links. Educate employees. Companies committed to disability-friendly workplaces may consider reinforcing that commitment regularly and effectively to employees. NDEAM offers an opportunity to do this, whether through disability training or informal educational events such as brown bag lunch sessions, discussions. Several ready-to-use resources can assist in facilitating such activities, such as disability etiquette materials and videos with accompanying discussion guides. Another option is to contact local disability organizations to see if they offer workplace training programs. Publish articles. NDEAM offers timely and fresh content for an employee newsletter or internal website. Articles may address a range of topics, such as general information about the process for requesting reasonable accommodations, or perhaps recognizing the contributions of employees with disabilities, either in general or on an individual level. In addition, your company's top executive may send a message to all employees recognizing NDEAM. Feature NDEAM on social media. NDEAM provides an interesting hook for content on social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. Include the hashtag NDEAM. Organizations can also use our sample key messages at the hot link to help incorporate NDEAM into their social media activities. Issue an NDEAM press release. Employers can issue a press release to local media announcing their involvement in NDEAM. Use our fill-in-the-blank template to customize your pitches to local media. There's a hot link for that. Participate in Disability Mentoring Day. Disability Mentoring Day promotes career development for youth with disabilities through hands-on programs, job shadowing, and ongoing mentoring. The nationwide observance is held the third Wednesday of October, but companies can host their events any day of the month or year, for that matter. This year, that would be the 15th. An update from ACB and the Guide Dog Users International lawsuit against Uber. On Tuesday, September 30, Claire Stanley and Melanie Brunson from GDUI had the opportunity to speak with an attorney from the U.S. Department of Justice about the Uber lawsuit. They were given basic information regarding the lawsuit and important upcoming dates. Uber is required to respond to the court by November 17th. The court in Northern California generally requires a first attempt of dispute resolution, which is likely to take a few months. However, the potential government shutdown could impact these timelines. The attorney explained that the lawsuit was brought on solely by the Justice Department. There is no named plaintiff. The submitted complaint has 17 specified stories to illustrate the breadth of disability discrimination cases beyond just guide dog denials. The attorney encouraged ACB members to continue to submit denial stories, especially if you have never done so before, so they have an accurate number of people who have been impacted by any kind of disability-related discrimination. If you would like help sharing your stories, please feel free to email them to advocacy@acb.org, and we will forward them on. ACB will share any updates it receives from DOJ as things move forward. Posted September 30. I would add that includes discrimination against wheelchair users, people with other service animals. This is a biggie. From fightingblindness.org. Give kids a chance. Reauthorizing a lifeline for children's vision. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is considering H.R. 1262, the Give Kids a Chance Act, which would reauthorize the Rare Pediatric Disease Priority Review Voucher, PRV, program, a taxpayer-neutral incentive that helps speed treatments for rare childhood conditions, including inherited retinal diseases, IRDs. Why it matters. Many IRDs begin in childhood and progress over time. Each year without treatments can mean irreversible vision loss. The PRV program helps attract private investment to small patient populations with high R&D costs, while maintaining FDA efficacy and safety standards. The program does not require taxpayer funding and has helped bring more rare pediatric therapies to the FDA for review. Our ask, we urge members of the committee to advance H.R. 1262 and restore this critical incentive for kids' health. Reauthorizing the PRV program will help speed access to life-changing therapies without taxpayer cost. Quote by Jason Menzo, CEO of the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Take action. Constituents can contact the representative's office at the hotlink to voice support for H.R. 1262. Read our open letter to the committee at the hotlink. Media inquiries, Chris Adams, VP Marketing and Communication, cadams@fightingblindness.org, call 410-423-0585. Fightingblindness.org also announces over $9 million in new research awards for fiscal year 2025. These awards span six strategic programs, each targeting critical gaps in understanding and treating inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, and age-related macular degeneration, AMD. Advancing Early AMD Research, Free Family AMD Initiative. With support from the Free Family Foundation, the foundation is funding a dual investigator award to explore the earliest stages of dry AMD. The project, led by Dr. Glenn Yu, that's Y-I-U, at UC Davis Health, and Dr. Rui Chen, UC Irvine, will use multiomics approaches in non-human primates to investigate the formation of drusen, lipid-rich deposits that mark the onset of AMD. I've got those. Their work will provide insights into how diet and systemic factors influence retinal degeneration and may pave the way for new therapeutic targets and dietary recommendations. Tackling PRPH2-associated retinal diseases, the PARD program, P-A-R-D. The PARD program, supported by the Nixon Visions Foundation, is funding two projects focused on PRPH2-related IRDs, which are known for their clinical variability. Dr. Jason Commander, Massachusetts Eye and Ear, will lead a comprehensive study to map all potential disease-causing variants in the PRPH2 gene. Using high-throughput assays and zebrafish models, this project aims to improve diagnosis and enable future therapeutic development. Dr. Frauke Coppetier, that's Frauke Coppieters of Ghent University, will investigate the genetic and cellular mechanisms behind disease variability in PRPH2 patients. Her team will also test a novel antisense oligonucleotide, ASO, therapy, offering hope for treatment where none currently exists. Accelerating Translational Therapies, Brint Family Translational Research Awards. In its inaugural year, the Brint Family, that's B-R-I-N-T, Translational Research Award Program is funding two high-impact projects in the area of novel medical therapies. Dr. Sylvain Chemtob, C-H-E-M-T-O-B, of Maisonneuve Rosemont Hospital of Montreal, will advance MU-010, a next-generation IL-1 receptor modulator for geographic atrophy in advanced form of dry age-related macular degeneration. This therapy shows promise in selectively reducing inflammation while preserving immune function, a major advancement over current treatments. Dr. Daniel Paul, with two L's, and New York Stem Cell Foundation, will develop a precision drug discovery platform using patient-derived iPSCs and AI-driven imaging. This scalable system will enable high-throughput screening of AMD therapies and could revolutionize how retinal diseases are modeled and treated. Supporting emerging scientists, Alan Latai's Career Development Program, that's L-A-T-I-E-S. To foster the next generation of vision researchers, the foundation is awarding two career development and one clinical research fellowship awards. These awards support early career clinician scientists pursuing bold innovative research in retinal degenerative diseases. Dr. Ishrat Ahmed of Wilmer Eye Institute and Johns Hopkins University will study how extracellular vesicles, EVs, contribute to disease progression in retinitis pigmentosa, focusing on cellular communication at the transition zone between healthy and diseased retina. Dr. Christopher Longlow, Medical College of Wisconsin, spells his name L-A-N-G-L-O, will use optoretinography, O-R-G, to assess photoreceptor function in patients with retinal degeneration, aiming to understand how cone cells respond to structural changes in the retina. Dr. Maram Abdallah of Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust will investigate the smooth zone in patients with choriodermia as potential biomarker for disease progression. This work would establish a new endpoint for pivotal gene therapy trials. Empowering Individual Investigators, the IIRA program. The foundation is awarding seven individual investigator research awards. These projects aim to deepen understanding of IRDs and to accelerate therapeutic development. Dr. Miranda Scalabrino of Medical College of Wisconsin is investigating RP1-related retinitis pigmentosa and gene therapy responses. Dr. Ramkumar Sabasan of the University of Washington is using ORG to detect early photoreceptor dysfunction in retinitis pigmentosa. Dr. Eric Pierce of Mass Eye and Ear is identifying circulating RNA biomarkers in extracellular vesicles for IRD monitoring. Dr. Jason Commander of Mass Eye and Ear is developing high-throughput assays to classify variants of uncertain significance in IRDs. Dr. Rob Collin, Radboud University Medical Center, that's spelled R-A-D-B-O-U-D, designing truncated EYS proteins for gene therapy in EYS-associated retinal disease. Dr. Kinga Bujakowska, that's B-U-J-A-K-O-W-S-K-A of Mass Eye and Ear, is evaluating rare IRD variants using high-throughput splicing and gene expression assays. Dr. Radha Ayagari of UC San Diego spells her name AYYAGARI, studying TMEM216 mutations in RP98 and developing gene therapy strategies for ciliopathies. Strengthening clinical trial design, the Ready Working Group Initiative, REDI. The foundation is funding the regulatory endpoints and clinical trial design for IRDs, Ready Working Group of the Clinical Consortium. This multi-year initiative aims to generate regulatory support for new clinical endpoints at IRD trials, a priority of the five-year science strategic plan. Leveraging published studies, data from approved rare disease products, and feedback from regulatory agencies, Ready will use natural history data, for example, the RUSH2A study, literature, and data-sharing collaborations to validate novel endpoints. The first project will focus on establishing the clinical relevance of full-field stimulus threshold, FST, testing for vision restoration in individuals with Leber congenital amaurosis, LCA, a strategic vision for the future. The launch of our five-year science strategic plan marks a pivotal moment in our mission to accelerate treatments for inherited retinal diseases and dry AMD. The research awards announced this year reflect our commitment to overcoming the barriers that slow progress, from developing validated clinical endpoints to nurturing emerging talent and creating innovative disease models. These projects are not only advancing science, they are laying the groundwork for real, transformative therapies for patients. Amy Laster, PhD, Chief Scientific Officer, Foundation Fighting Blindness. To learn more about these and other funded projects, visit the funded grants page at the hot link on the Foundation Fighting Blindness. And a beacon story from fightingblindness.org. A family united, Thomas's hero's journey with CRB1. Life in Hoboken, New Jersey is full of energy for Becky and Tom Egan, their teenage sons, Thomas and Peter, and their two Maine Coon cats, Cokie and Fireball. The Egans spend much of their free time cycling together, and they also share a love for puzzles, board games, and escape rooms. But behind the joy of their everyday life is a journey they never expected, navigating Thomas's diagnosis of a rare inherited retinal disease caused by mutations in the CRB1 gene. Thomas's vision loss first appeared when he was just 5 years old. He needed glasses after struggling to read distant signs, but even with a strong prescription, his vision never corrected to 20/20. Regular visits to a pediatric ophthalmologist reassured the family that his condition, labeled amblyopia at the time, was manageable. Looking back, Becky remembers noticing that Thomas couldn't see stars at night, but she didn't know that was significant. At the time, we thought vision meant the eye chart at the optometrist, Becky recalls. We didn't understand concepts like visual fields or night vision. That perspective changed dramatically when Thomas was 12. A routine eye appointment revealed swelling on his retina, and the Egans began a long series of specialist visits. A retina doctor suspected uveitis, and Thomas underwent months of treatments, including steroids, medications, and infusions, that brought no improvement. Finally, the family was referred to an inherited retinal disease specialist to, quote-unquote, rule it out. Instead, they left that appointment with the news that Thomas had mutations in the CRB1 gene, and the doctor told them he would likely be blind by age 40. I sobbed through the whole appointment, says Becky. I had never even heard the words retinitis pigmentosa. No one in our family had it. I didn't sleep for weeks worrying about how Thomas would survive without vision. Over time, Becky and her family found their footing. They learned all about blinding diseases and connected with the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Meeting others with vision loss helped reshape their outlook. I realized that while I wish Thomas didn't have this disease, it's not a death sentence, says Becky. There are plenty of people who are thriving with vision loss. Thomas has also grown in how he views his condition. At first, he brushed it aside. Being blind at 40 seemed far away to a 12-year-old. But as he's matured, his perspective has shifted, and he's embracing his vision loss journey. As he enters his junior year of high school, Thomas is already considering colleges where he can work with researchers on his gene. For Becky, her son's diagnosis has been a lesson in resilience and perspective. "Everyone has something they're dealing with," says Becky. "This is just our family struggle. We already knew life was about relationships, but this has affirmed it for us." Because CRB1 is rare, raising awareness is also deeply important to her. Becky wishes more families knew the early signs of inherited retinal diseases. "I didn't know night vision was the first thing to go," she explains. "We might have gotten to a specialist earlier. For years, when we thought Thomas had amblyopia, I carried guilt, like maybe if I'd gotten him glasses sooner, he'd have better vision. Getting his diagnosis, while devastating, gave me a sense that this wasn't my fault." A Google search for retinitis pigmentosa first brought Becky to the Foundation Fighting Blindness. What began as a search for answers grew into a vital community. Today, Becky serves as vice president of the Foundation's New York City chapter, and she and Tom recently became national trustees. "The Foundation has changed our lives," says Becky. "It's our number one philanthropic priority and the most important thing we can do with our lives." This August, the Egans took on their most ambitious fundraiser yet, Summit for Sight, a 560-mile cycling trek across the Pyrenees from the Atlantic Ocean to the Mediterranean Sea. Some days they climbed for 7 hours on steep mountain grades. "It was the hardest thing we've ever done physically," says Becky, "but I wouldn't change it for the world. We all learned that we can do hard things, and we wanted to give Thomas the experience of seeing the vistas of the Pyrenees while he still has great vision. And more importantly, we wanted him to realize how strong he is." The event was made even more meaningful by the community that surrounded them. Friends and family joined the ride, and along the way they met new supporters, including blind athlete and content creator Anthony Ferraro, who cheered the whole group on. Looking ahead, the Egans are determined to keep building momentum. Their other fundraiser, Sound for Sight, will return as an annual event, and they'll continue advocating for research and awareness. Becky also hopes to support other parents just beginning this journey. "Find your people," she urges. "It's overwhelming in the beginning, and it takes time to adjust and to grieve. But having a community around you makes all the difference." While no one can predict exactly what the future holds, Becky feels confident her son's path forward. "Thomas is determined to turn his diagnosis into purpose," she says. "We're proud of the strength he's already shown, and we'll be with him every step of the way." The National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, Facebook group has a post from Aislinn Mannion Woody. "This would be a great opportunity for a young blind student to talk about how cuts to Braille educator programs limit their literacy and their freedom. I have met some brilliant young blind scholars who may have a lot to say on the topic." The Frederick Douglass National Historic Site is accepting applications for the 2025 Frederick Douglass Oratorical Contest. Remember, this year's contest has virtual and in-person options. Once again, and it is open to all students ages 6 to 18. Applications are now open. The contest will be held November 18 to 22, 2025. Applications or questions can be emailed to us at douglassnhs@nps.gov. I have run out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This podcast is readily available as a podcast at our website.